Let's close our eyes. Let's get into today's message. Dear Lord Jesus, we're going to talk about Psalm 23 today. There's been some technological issues already. I just pray, Lord, you've brought all these people here today. So many visitors. Truly a blessed Sabbath. Thank you for sending the people. Now we pray that you send the rain. May the message fall upon our ears and may the hearts be receptive, I ask in your name. Amen. So Psalm 23, open your Bibles. We're not going to have the PowerPoint. We're not going to have the screen. So open your Bibles at Psalm 23. It's a bit sad that we have to open our Bibles. You know, there was a time when we would just have it memorized. I'm not of that time. So who wrote Psalm 23? It says so in verse 1. Now, who was David? David was a man who had lived a full life. I think we can say that safely. You know, David, he was a shepherd boy, a musician, a poet, a war hero, a refugee, a commander of heroes. David feigned madness. He was fearless. He was humble. He was noble. He became king. He numbered Israel. He yielded to temptation. He murdered by proxy. He repented and he humbled himself before the Lord. This is David. And he wrote Psalm 23. A man of vast personal and spiritual experience. And therefore it may be prudent for us to look at Psalm 23. Take a closer look and see what this man's wealth of experience with the Lord has brought him to write. So verse 1 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Shepherd. This word, the Hebrew word for shepherd, is ra'ah. Ra'ah. And this word ra'ah is translated into four different English words in the King James. And when we study these four different English words, then it can complete our understanding of what David meant when he said, "The Lord is my ra'ah, my shepherd." Now, ra'ah means to be fed, to be fed. We find this in Psalm 37, verse 3, where it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, verily thou shalt be fed." Be fed there is ra'ah. It's the same Hebrew word. So, ra'ah means to be fed. The shepherd ensures that you are fed. And how does the shepherd feed you? John chapter 6 verse 51 says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And if any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever." Luke 4 verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word from the mouth of God." The shepherd shall feed you the bread of life, which is his word. So that is the first meaning of ra'ah, is to be fed. The second meaning of the word ra'ah is to be kept. To be kept. We see this translation in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 34. "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept," that's ra'ah, "thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and I smote him and I delivered it from his mouth." To be kept. To be kept. This means to be cared for, to be protected, and to be saved. The shepherd cares for you. The shepherd protects you. And the shepherd saves you. Because yes, there is a lion going about, roaring lion going about, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." The shepherd will keep you. Ra'ah. Lastly, ra'ah is also translated as companion or friend. We see this translation in Proverbs 22, verse 24, 28, 7, and 29, 3. And the question is whether the shepherd is your friend. Is the shepherd your friend? James 2, 23 tells us how we can be a friend of the shepherd. Abraham believed God, and he was called the friend of God. By believing, you become a friend of the shepherd. Now may these translations of the word ra'ah add to your understanding of what David meant when he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord feeds me bread and his word." This is physical and spiritual nourishment. "The Lord keeps me, cares for me, protects me, and saves me." This is emotional, physical, and spiritual care. "The Lord is my friend." This is social and personal nurture. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, what could you possibly want? You won't be in want. If you find yourself in want or in need, the only question for you to ponder is whether the Lord is your shepherd. Now, who here is familiar with the hymn, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah"? Who knows that song? And the refrain says, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Any Welsh rugby fans know that hymn. Hasn't been a good time for the Welsh rugby team, but that's another story. Now, I always felt uncomfortable with the words of this hymn. The lyrics made it sound that I could feed on the bread of heaven, and then I become so satisfied that I don't want no more. I wasn't happy with that. But that is not what the lyrics mean. What these lyrics are saying is, feed me till I want no more, which means feed me and I shall want no more. I shall not be in want because I shall not be in need any longer, for the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Now we're getting it. Now the question for you today, is the Lord your shepherd? Is the Lord your shepherd? We advance to verse 2. I hope you're still in your Bibles. "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." Lying down? Lying down? What for? What for? Why would we need to lie down? What do we do when we lie down? Rest. Rest. The shepherd brings you rest. Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Are you tired of toil? Are you exhausted by your burdens? Are you depressed and heavy laden today? Come unto the shepherd. Let him lead you to rest in green pastures. Now, the mention of rest, it reminds me also of Deuteronomy 5:15 that says that we are to remember that we were a servant in the land of Egypt and that the Lord thy God brought thee out hence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. And therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. We are commanded to keep the Sabbath rest as a remembrance of being set free from the burden and bondage of sin. And that is why we are here today. The shepherd brings you rest when you heed his call to come unto me. The only question is, will you come? Have you decided to come unto the shepherd? "He leadeth me beside still waters." Now, why water? John 4:14 says, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." the water of everlasting life. The shepherd leads you to that water. But how do we partake of that water? John 3 verse 5 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." The shepherd will lead you beside the still water, but you must choose to enter into that water. You must choose to be baptized and be born again. To be born of the water and of the Spirit. You must choose. Are you paying attention to where the shepherd is leading you? And for some of us here today, it might be the right time to start considering. Is it perhaps the time for you to enter into the still waters of baptism? We carry on with verse 3. "He restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." He restores my soul. The Hebrew word that has been translated to soul here, that Hebrew word is nephesh. And we find the first reference to nephesh in Genesis 2 verse 7, where it says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. That is nephesh. God breathed into dust and gave it life. The shepherd restores my soul. The shepherd breathes again. He gives me my breath back. He reinvigorates my life. He quickens my spirit. He gives me a new life. Pretty sure there was an amen there somewhere. This is that born again experience of the baptism. This is the new creation. The shepherd creates again. Nephesh. He restores my soul. He breathes new life in me. And that is why we have 2 Corinthians 5:17 saying, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Today we have so many people speaking of born this way. And I want to tell you the solution to born this way is born again.
Amen.
Are you seeking to be made new? That is the question for us today. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Now I know what you're thinking. You're saying, "Lord, but I'm unrighteous." And the shepherd says, "I know, but follow my lead." He doesn't tell you to be righteous. He says, "Follow me in the path of righteousness." He will lead you to be righteous. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." The shepherd will lead you in the path of righteousness, but you must choose to follow. And the question is, are you following where the shepherd is leading? We arrive at verse 4. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Now, how did we end up here? The shepherd is leading me. The shepherd is leading me in the path. Which path? The path of righteousness. He's leading me in the path of righteousness. Now, does the path of righteousness only go by the green pastures? Does the path of righteousness only run beside the still waters? No, the path of righteousness, it runs through the valley of the shadow of death. Death. The shepherd feeds me. The shepherd keeps me. The shepherd is my friend. Why does this shepherd lead me into the valley of the shadow of death? Why? I will fear no evil. The shepherd keeps you from fear. I will fear no evil. The shepherd says in Revelation 1:17, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen. Yes, some of you were following. Amen, it's right there, Revelation 1:18. It says, "Amen." The shepherd has overcome death. We need not fear death. Who here fears death? I invite you to meet your shepherd. We do not need to fear death. Amen.
Amen.
But what we should fear, what we should fear is life. What are you talking about? What we should fear is life. A life not lived following the shepherd. We should fear that. This is to be feared. Life not lived following the shepherd. Living your life outside of the flock. Living your life in rebellion to or disinterested in the shepherd. This is a frightening, fearful, awful fate. This should be feared. But for those who follow the shepherd, they fear no evil. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear."
Amen.
The question is, why would you choose to live a life of fear? Why don't you just follow the shepherd? Now, here in verse 4, we find another profound change. "For thou art with me." Have you noticed this change? In verse 1, David is telling you, about his shepherd. The shepherd is in the third person. David is telling you about his shepherd. In verse 4, when David is down here in the valley of the shadow of death, he says, "For thou art with me." Is he talking about you? No. Now his shepherd is in the second person. He's talking directly to his shepherd. Why is David doing this? Because when we are in the valley of the shadow of death, then we are there all alone. You aren't there. You won't be there with me when I'm in the valley of the shadow of death. I'll be there all alone. But will I be alone? "For thou art with me." The shepherd will be there with you. When everyone else has abandoned you, when you are all alone in the shadow of death, you are not alone, for the shepherd is there with you.
Amen.
Is that thought comforting to you? Is there anyone here today who perhaps find themselves struggling with depression and anxiety and fear, and they are in the valley of the shadow of death? Reach out. Your shepherd is there with you. "For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." The rod. Who, when they hear the word rod, think of comfort? I grew up in the good old days. Not so much comfort, rather great discomfort. But there is a rod that comforts. We find it in Isaiah chapter 11. And we read from verse 1. "And there shall come forth a rod. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. There is a rod of comfort. It's the rod out of Jesse. It's Jesus Christ. But Isaiah 11 also confirms that this rod which comforts, this rod also corrects. If we read in verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Yes, the rod and the staff of the shepherd will comfort, but it will also correct. The question for you to consider today is whether this rod, will it be comforting you or will it be correcting you? Verse 5. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now this table, if it's not prepared for you here on earth, it will definitely be received where at the return of the shepherd, which will be accompanied by the resurrection of the righteous. Revelation 19 verse 9 says, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. He has prepared a table for us. The question is whether you are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb, who is also the shepherd. Now, anointing the head with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Have you experienced that anointing? Are you desiring this anointing? Are you praying for and seeking to be sealed by the Holy Ghost? The Lord shall anoint your head with oil if you pursue it. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness and mercy. Sounds nice. Goodness and mercy. Now, is that all you will experience when you're following the shepherd in the path of righteousness? Is that all you will experience? Goodness and mercy. No, the path of righteousness may go through the valley of the shadow of death. It is not only goodness and mercy that you will experience when you follow in the path of righteousness. No, you may be at risk of misunderstanding this. Goodness and mercy will follow you because this should be the trail that you are leaving behind. Goodness and mercy when you follow the shepherd in the path of righteousness. You should be leaving goodness and mercy in your trail. Micah 6 verse 8 says that the Lord hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. That is how goodness and mercy will follow you. When you do justly, when you love mercy, and when you walk humbly with your God. Amen. Showing goodness and mercy unto others, walking humbly with thy shepherd, so you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dora Creek, Psalm 23 is a roadmap. It's a roadmap for your life. It leads you to green pastures. It leads you beside the still waters. It leads you in the path of righteousness. Yes, it takes you through the valley of the shadow of death to a table prepared for you, leaving goodness and mercy in your trail on your way to the house of the Lord forever. The final question here for us today is, where are you headed? Where are you headed? Where are you sitting here today? Where are you headed? Let's close our eyes. Dear Lord Jesus, our shepherd, dear Lord, thank you for sending us this map, this guide, this roadmap for our lives, dear Lord Jesus. And I just pray, I pray that the people and the visitors here at Dora Creek today, that they will listen. Listen to this roadmap that has been urged upon us by David, a man who has dealt with serious sin in his life, but he overcame, Lord Jesus. If there's anyone struggling with sin here today, they can overcome by reaching out to their shepherd. And may they find comfort. Dear Lord, I pray this in your holy name. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for inspiring your servant David to write this beautiful psalm, to give us 6 short verses to direct our path, to follow where you lead, so that you may lead us to our everlasting home. I pray that everyone here today will take up this journey and walk it hand in hand with you, O Lord, their Savior, their friend, their comforter and King. Amen.